Hey, how about me?
All right. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 6, verse 18. We've been talking about prayer, the authority of the believer in this. Thank you. Today we're going to start examining the tools of our prayer life. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. God wants to elevate our prayer lives. And if you don't have a prayer life, remember years ago I said, if you don't have a prayer life, you need to get one, because it's going to be that imperative for our prayer lives to begin to graduate more and more. And a lot of us have a prayer life that is either stagnant, and your desires of infusing that prayer life with greater power and meaning. Well, today we're going to look at two types of prayer, and hopefully these keys that God wants to give to us will energize our prayer lives and really start seeing God in a different way. When our kids come to us and they want something, generally they're grunting and groaning, and we try to figure out what it is that they want. Eventually we demand that they speak in a way that we can convey and understand, and eventually we converse with them as equals in their minds, so that we understand. It's nothing different than in our prayer lives, and hopefully, like I said, we can take it to the next level. God wants us to really begin to penetrate the darkness and really begin to start bringing those supplies from heaven to earth so that we can conduct warfare. Remember, again, God has given us power and authority in Jesus' name. Power is what? And authority is the right to use it, right? And so if you don't know that you have power and authority, you won't use your power and authority. What we're saying now is how to direct that power and authority in such a way that it makes the believer effective and makes the church effective in that area. So turn with me to Matthew 18, verse 19. And we're going to have a ton of scriptures today, but be with me, be patient with me, and I will try to explain. I have a couple object lessons that may be able to enlighten what I'm trying to convey today in the Spirit. But this prayer is called the Prayer of Agreement. Matthew 18:19 says, and this is the Lord speaking, he says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth anything they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. The key here is that you have to have two or more people praying, right? The other key here is to understand that when you're praying, you cannot assume what that other person is praying for, right? And a lot of times what we do is we run to each other and say, look, help me pray. Pray with me about this, that, and whatever. And so what happens is we come in alignment with them and pray, but it seems like nothing happens. Why is that? Have you ever asked why that is? Why is it that we've agreed to pray on this? Well, the fact of the matter is, you may have agreed to pray about that, but what one's praying for and what the other one's praying for are two separate things. Example. Say you need a job change or a car, or you're praying about a piece of furniture or something like this. And I used this illustration a couple years ago with Watchman Nee when he gave the example of his desk. And God said to him, you know, when he went to him, he asked him about this desk. And God said, there's 1,000 types of desk out there. There's different kinds of woods. All this whole diverse ways of trying to get this thing. But no one was in agreement with him in what he was praying for. Yeah, Becky wants a desk, where we'll say college since it's applicable to her. But what kind of college? What kind of degree do you want? What kind of finances do you want? What kind of things are near? God is trying to get us to become more and more specific. And so when we ask somebody to pray with us about something in an agreement, we need to be specific about that thing that we're asking for. If we ask for a car, we have to be specific, because we know there's thousands of types of cars out there, right? There are different colors. They all have different kinds of accessories. You know, you may be praying for a Ford Bronco, and somebody else is praying for a little Prius. Oh, yeah, okay. I wouldn't be praying for that, but except that it'd get off the road. But you know, that is true. And when we come into agreement, we generally assume that we know what that other person wants. What Jesus is trying to get us to understand here is that when you pray this prayer of agreement, you got to stop all assumptions. That means, Kim, what is it that you want to pray for? Well, Pastor, I don't know. Well, then we can't pray in an agreement that God wants to give it to you, because we learned last week that God wants to answer our prayer so that our joy would be full. Is our joy full? Are we so full of joy that God is answering prayers and we're excited about what God wants to do? I don't think so. I mean, He's answering my prayers and doing those things that He has said He's going to do. And I'm rejoicing in God because, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with me except following the Word. Okay? Doing what the Word says to do. And that means to understand. So if I'm going to have come into a prayer of agreement with someone, and we did this the other week when Dory brought Nolan to me, can you pray for him? What do you want to pray for? What is it that you want God to do? And she told me. I said, okay, let's pray this prayer. And we prayed this prayer. Boom. The things that she asked for, God has done for her, because we knew it wasn't leukemia. We knew it wasn't this. We knew it wasn't that. We were not going to allow an evil report come in and rob God of His glory. And so what we did was we prayed in agreement that God do this thing according to what she wanted, and God has answered that prayer. Can you see how this dynamic works? It's not rocket science. It's just learning how to use the tools in such a way that God answers prayer. We know exactly what it is that we want. We know exactly what we're asking for. And when we come together, when two or more of you come together asking, God will do it for you. We need to be in agreement. So what am I trying to convey here? I'm trying to convey that we need not assume that we know what that other person is talking about. We need clarity, and we need to know exactly what it is. Amen? I mean, it's real simple, but we tend to miss it. We tend to make it harder than what it really is. And we don't look to see what the Scriptures are trying to tell us, because after all, we're assuming that God means something when He's not. So we need to be in agreement on specifics. What are those specifics? We never can have the luxury to assume that we know what that other person wants, because if we're not in agreement, it's not going to happen. And God's about doing the things to make it happen for us so that our joy would be full. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So, you see, He wants to build you up in your most holy faith, but if you're not using the right tool in your prayer life, Satan is slowly tearing it away. And then eventually what happens is we're not praying. And that's what he wants. He does not want the Church of Jesus Christ to pray. He doesn't want the saints to receive from their Father the things that He's promised them. He does not want you to become a living nightmare to His kingdom of darkness, because after all, if He's answering my prayer, He wants to answer your prayer. That is God's desire. He loves you tremendously. But if you don't know what to ask of Him when you're asking someone else, guess what? Don't expect to receive something. James says, how can a double-minded man even expect to receive anything from God? So we need to be specific. Stop the assumptions. And we all need to be on the same page when we pray this prayer of agreement. Okay? Turn to Mark 11, verses 22 to 24. We're only going to cover two prayers today, but hopefully we can come away with a little bit greater understanding. Mark 11, 22 through 24. This is the prayer of faith. Okay? This is Jesus speaking. He says, have faith in God truly. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Is Jesus a liar? No, he's not. Then why isn't our faith in such a way resulting in answered prayer? All of us are asking something, but we're missing some key ingredients in which to make this thing go forth. It says that when we're talking to God, there are some keys we've got to initiate. And one of those keys is the moment you start to pray, believe. A lot of times we're saying a whole lot of stuff, but we're not believing that God wants to do something. Right? It says, when you pray, believe, and you shall receive. Shall is a future tense. The key here is, we don't know when we're going to receive it. And we have to divorce ourselves from this fast food mentality that when I ask something and believe something, I'm going to have it immediately. For 2 years, I've been prophesying what God has been speaking to my heart about how He wants to use me in ministry. For 7 years, I have been prophesying about laying the foundation in your lives to make you disciples of Jesus Christ, so that you can take your place in the church. When you are not taking your place in the church, you are hurting the cause of the church of Jesus Christ, whether you understand that or not. These are facts. Okay? Everyone has a job to do, and everyone is expected to do their job. When we stand before the Lord, we're going to give an account. And we cannot sit there and say, well, you know what? Pastor didn't give me a job to do. Jesus gave you the job. My job is to help you accomplish that. Well, Jesus didn't speak to me. Oh, yes, He did. You're not listening. Well, you just don't understand. I don't have the same amount of time as you got, Pastor. After all, I work this and I do that and all this other stuff. You got the same amount of time as I've got, 24 hours. What you do in that time, you're accountable to God for, just like I am. And so what happens is, We don't pray because we're allowing non-essential things to come into our lives to rob us from being effective for the King. We learned this in DNA. And so what we do is we have prioritized what is of importance. Jesus gave us the priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But Jesus is also saying here that when we pray, believe. Believe. You can't have any doubt in your heart the moment you begin to start asking for things. Okay? So how does this look? Well, first of all, we know that Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But I like to read out of my ESV, and it says, faith is the full assurance of things hoped for, with the conviction of things not seen. What is that saying? That's saying that the moment I'm going to ask God, I am going to initiate my faith. Okay? I'm believing God that when I ask Him for something, even though I don't see it right now, I know I'm going to receive it in the future. Period. But what we do is we ask, and we ask, and we ask, and we ask the same thing over and over again. Right. Irene received in the mail a card. Okay. And in this card, it says, you've got to call this number by this date to activate this card. Right? How many times does she have to call this number to activate this card? One time! Okay, you guys are with me. Great. I love this. Okay. Now, in this, there's a criteria. There's a certain amount of dollars that's attached to this. But she has to call how many guys? One time to activate this. And she will receive that which is accustomed to this card, right? How many times do you have to ask God for the same thing to get your answer? One time. I'm glad Ken's awake with me. One time. So what are we doing asking over and over and over again for the same thing? Has your faith been activated? It has not. Why? Amen. You are filled with doubt because if you don't believe God is going to answer, you're going to keep asking. When did God hear you? The first time. Let me give you another example. Holly, can I have your Bible, please? Okay. Holly, can I have your Bible, please? Holly, can I have your Bible, please? One more time. Holly, can I have your Bible, please? When did I have this prayer answered? When did I receive the answer? When I believed. When I believed. If I had received it and believed it, did I need to keep asking her for her Bible? Why not? I don't need to believe. I know now. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't have to see that I have this to know that I have this. Right? But if I don't initiate my faith, thank you. If I don't initiate my faith in believing that God has heard me, then my heart is filled with doubt. And I go back to the Father and I ask Him again and again and again. Those who have been part of prayer time with me, no, I only ask one time. I believe that when I ask, because my Father is a good Father. He provides for me. He makes sure I have what I need. And I believe that I receive. Now, outside influences may come in and say, well, you didn't receive it. Well, yes, I did. God is not limited to time and space, but He has to manifest it within time and space. So it takes time and space from the time He hears to the time it comes. I must believe the moment that I asked in order for it to come. The moment I doubt by believing the enemy that God's not going to give it to me or assault me in my mind is the moment of decision for us. I'm either going to believe that what God said for me to do is correct and ask Him one time and believe and stand on that and say, you know what? I believe God. I'm not going to believe that liar. Remember that story I told you about Smith Wigglesworth some years ago that he had prayed for this woman and she did not receive her healing, the manifestation of her healing, for what? 1 year. And she had all the naysayers saying, oh, you know, she had this terrible tumor on her back, and it was just growing and growing. And she says, "I got healed." And they said, "When did you get healed?" "Well, I got healed when I was prayed for." And it was over and over a period of time. They kept on feeding her with doubt and unbelief. But she kept steadily standing on God's word. Until a year later, Smith comes back, and she brought her family forward. And in a moment that she confessed that she had received her healing, that thing fell off her body, hit the floor, and her family got saved. You see, it's to the glory of God. It's not to our glory. It's to Him. He wants to use our faith in such a way that we get excited about what He's doing. The enemy wants us to look at the natural situation of where we're at and believe that God has not heard us. But the fact of the matter is God heard us from the first. Remember Daniel? When he prayed to the Lord, what did the angel say to him? Daniel kept on praying and praying about this situation. But the angel came and said, "Daniel, your prayer was heard by the Father the first day you asked. But I have been impeded from bringing the answer to you. For I have fought against the prince of Persia." You see, what happens is in this reality that we're dealing with, the church is weak in faith. The church in America is weak in faith. Turn to Matthew 13. I want to show you something. Matthew 13, verses 53 through 58. "And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there and came to his hometown. He taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?' And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in the hometown of and his own household. And he did not do many works, mighty works there because of their unbelief.'" Their unbelief. Your unbelief. You need to take that unbelief, wrap it all up, and throw it out. The moment you ask, you don't need to repeat. You just need to reassure yourself, "God heard me, and I'm waiting for the answer." Right? The moment we pray, we ask the Father, we need to initiate our faith at that moment. When you pray, believe. The moment you begin to start asking God, you need to believe. You need to exercise your faith. And when that thing manifests, you praise God. You give Him the glory and you praise Him. You praise Him when it's not manifested. You praise Him in the midst of the trials and tribulations. You praise Him because the enemy wants to steal your joy. And if you look at the accounts in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, some of these people did not receive what they were asking. Did that diminish their faith in God? No. No, it didn't. Those of us who went to Bands of Brother, and Ed and I sat in a teaching. The vision, what I'm asking God for, is only my ceiling. It is your floor. Am I going to receive that which God has asked? You better believe I am. But so much more. Until He comes. You guys, I'm praying for you guys. That you step up, that you take a hold of what God has for you and take this ministry and make it your own, because it is your own. It is your inheritance. So why not increase the inheritance? The more souls we win, the greater your inheritance is. This is what you got to understand. You're not building streams for me. You're building streams for Him. You're building Him. I'm building into you. I'm investing my life into you. I'm believing God for you. When even you don't believe in yourself, I'm believing for you. And you need faith. You need faith. God wants to take you to a different level of faith. Right now, Satan doesn't want you to have that faith. Satan doesn't want you to use your faith. Satan doesn't want you. He wants to bring every naysayer into your life to keep you from accomplishing that which God has called into your life. You need to divorce yourself from those people. You really do. Cut them out of your life. Well, that won't make me popular. If you're popular with the world, you're not popular with God. What do you want to do? You want to please man or you want to please God? If you want to please God, then being here is the wrong place to be. I want to please God. I want all that God wants. And I want it for you guys, too. Turn to Matthew 9. We're going to finish up on this scripture. You've got to eliminate unbelief in your heart. Well, I believe in God. Well, why are you praying the same thing over and over? Pull this tool out, dust it off, get rid of the junk, and pray. I'm going to give you an example of how this looks. Matthew 9, verses 27 through 30. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And when he entered the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that God is able to do what you're asking him to do?" A very good question. Do you believe? Do you believe without a shadow of a doubt in your heart that what you ask him, he's going to do for you? And the blind man said, "Yes, Lord." And Jesus said, "Be it unto your faith." And at that moment, they receive what they ask. Isn't that what the scripture says? The question is, do you believe that he is able? Without a shadow of a doubt, without anything. I mean, if you could grab this truth, it will revolutionize your prayer life. It will revolutionize your prayer life. You'll start seeing people come to Jesus. You'll start being used of God. You'll start getting involved in the things that God wants you to be involved in. Why? Because your whole focus is being pleasing to God. You know, anything that is not of God is willing to separate you from God. If we're involved in activities that are not of God, now hear me, I'm not saying that the thing that Irene's involved in, that is a strategy we're using. She's involved to bring light in the darkness and dispel that darkness. But if you're involved in stuff that is not of God, guess what we need to do? We need to cut it off from our system. If it is taking up time that we can't pray, I'm up at 5:30 praying. Pastor Tusi's up at 4:30 praying for me and the church. What time you get up to pray? Do you pray? I'm just asking questions to stimulate a thought. I don't want you to feel condemned. I don't want you to feel if you're going to feel convicted, then repent. Get it under the blood and begin to act on it. He touched the and they received their sight. You see, we depend too much on the physical. We're waiting for the manifestation. If it doesn't come yesterday, then God doesn't want to do something. And the fact of the matter is, he heard the first time. See, this prayer of faith is between you and God. It's not a prayer of agreement. Prayer of agreement is used when we're hitting the wall. We're hitting the ceiling. We need to lock our shields of faith together in order to destroy the works of the enemy or to help us be infused with faith. This here is Jesus is saying to us that you need to have faith. You need to drive all the darkness out. But the moment you ask anything of him, you have to believe that you have received it. These blind guys, they couldn't see, but they were hearing something in the Spirit, and they used that to follow after the Son of God, and they said, have mercy. He said, do you believe I can do this? Yes, Lord. They couldn't see. They weren't looking for a physical manifestation. They were looking for Jesus to do something for them. What was it that they wanted their sight? They wanted their sight. Do you believe I'm able to do it? Do you believe? What is it that you believe in God that He can do? Because there's nothing He can't do. But you have to move on your faith. You have to activate on your faith. You see, we're told out of the Old Testament, the just shall live by faith. Faith in what? Faith in Buddha? Faith in Islam? Faith in me? No, have faith in God. Put your faith in God. Put the full weight, substance, assuredness that God wants to do something for you. And if it doesn't manifest immediately, it does not mean that you're not going to receive it. It just means that there's spiritual warfare going on to keep the answer from coming, to keep the manifestation from happening. Believe. Church, believe. I'm believing. I'm believing God for awesome things. I'm believing God not only wants to raise me up, He wants to raise you guys up. He wants you guys to speak to other churches. He wants you prophesying great and awesome things. He wants you to have a vibrant relationship with Him. He wants you to understand how important you are to Him. And that importance isn't just sitting there holding on and feeding ourselves that become happy, fat, dumb, and lazy. No. We get fed, build up, and then we go and do the greater works that Jesus did. To glorify Him and to win souls to His kingdom. The moment you ask, activate your faith. And only ask one time. God heard you. But it's going to take time. I challenge you this week to take these prayers. I challenge you. Then in your personal time, put it before God. Start stepping out on your faith. Start believing things. Start seeing God working the impossible. Not the possible. Impossible. And you guys should know me well enough to know that I don't vainly just say things. Hypothetically, I am not a half a step ahead of you. I am walking and want to lock arms with you to bring you and myself to that level that God wants streams to operate in. Do you believe this? God has an awesome plan for your life, integrating it with the plan and destiny of streams. Integrating the destiny of NRP. Integrating that vision to be global. Some of you are going to go to the nations this year. Because God is ordaining this. Some of you are going to go into the prison. Some of you are going to be involved in the things of your town. Some of you are going to be involved in a PTA. So, you know, whatever it is. God wants us in every nook and cranny to win the loss. And if you don't see yourself there, ask Him to show you where He sees you. And then take that as your own and thank God for it and just begin to start moving in that direction. You know, He may show you, but if you don't put action on your faith, it's not going to happen. Amen? Father, I just thank You for this time, Lord God. I ask God that You increase our awareness, God. Build up our faith, Lord God. God, I hopefully today that we can see how this warfare is going to take on its place, God. That, yeah, we start and believe in you, but there's going to be times, God, that we're going to need the brothers and sisters to come together with us, Lord God. To see you manifest your power and your might, oh God. To see you drive back the darkness. See you extinguish the darkness and bring light, God. God, I'm believing great things in you, Lord. I'm believing, God. And I see these things happening, God. What you showed me 2-3 years ago, God, is now coming to pass. God, expand my vision more, God. Expand my heart more, God, that I may see those things that you're calling, God, that are not as though they were. That we would be a people that would do the same thing, Lord. That our joy would be full as you fill us with good things. As you fulfill those things that we've asked, God. As you begin to equip and build the church for this end time move, God, I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.